Listen to the Voice of Survival podcast every other Friday, right here on the Journey into Comics Network. JourneyIntoComics.com. The following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Nice night.
Mm-hmm. Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. You ever tried shawarma? There's a shawarma joint about two blocks from here. I don't know what it is, but I want to try it.
What we need is a few good taters.
What's taters, precious? What's taters, eh?
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Are you gonna eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Do you want some coffee, Mr. Tully?
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
This is a tasty burger.
Is butter a carb?
Will you stop eating?
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
Guys, we are not invading my aunt.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Foodies Watching Movies. I'm your host, Veronica, and with me as always is Nate Phillips. How's it going?
What's up?
And Andrew Poor Boy Poor.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, AP. What are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm doing good. Staring at Nate's movie collection over here.
Per usual. Today we are joined by our magnificent friend, Lauren. How's it going, Lauren?
It's going good, thank you.
Good. I'm so excited that you're here. She too is also a foodie and a cinephile. So, welcome.
Yeah, guys. So, how are you doing? You didn't get to really answer that question.
Oh, well, I'm doing really good. I'm excited that we are back for a new season of Foodies Watching Movies. We took a little break, and now with the relaunch of the Journey into Comics Network, we are excited to bring new content and try and switch up our format and see what works for us.
Yeah, you know, when Brandon and I decided it's like time to do the network bigger, better, and different and all this stuff, Foodies was like the big question of what do we do differently? How do we switch it up? We had actually already been talking previously that we wanted to change the format of our show.
Right.
And it just kind of coincided that our first show back is after the launch of the network. The network's been a thing for almost a month.
Yeah.
By the time this thing is dropped, which is crazy. But we decided to kind of ditch the old format. We're just going to kind of go freeform today. Get to know everybody. I want to get to know you guys as cinephiles and as foodies. What do you like to eat? What do you like to watch? So today, we're just going to kind of riff, talk about stuff. I might throw on a random bullshit question like, AP, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, that's a tough
on the spot.
One. I'll give you my favorite comedy.
Okay, that's fair. Comedy, good. We'll start there.
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty's hilarious. Okay.
That movie I can watch.
I was not expecting you to say Bruce Almighty.
I can watch that so many times.
Okay.
It's just...
What's your favorite scene in that movie? Please.
It's Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman in the office when he meets some god and he's trying to prove him wrong.
And he opens the file
and just
and it goes forever. That's
or
amazing.
The... How many fingers am I holding my back? Seven. Ha ha! Ha! just that movie is just both of them doing what they do best.
And back to you, Evan Bastard, backstabber.
Oh, and just Steve Carell when he's just making up what he's saying and just. Oh,
isn't God. That the movie where he says, "And my tiny little nipples went to France"?
Yes.
Okay, so I gotta know.
Whoa.
Lauren, what's your favorite movie or comedy? If we want to start with comedies.
My favorite comedy is Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, Andrew Samberg, Andy Samberg.
Yes, right? Yes.
I've never seen that movie.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen Hot Rod. I've seen previews for it, Like, doesn't he have a mustache in that movie?
Yes, he does. He has a fake mustache. He has a hormone disorder, so he can't grow facial hair.
Oh my god. I've never seen this movie.
I mean, I like Andy Samberg, but that's, and I have to watch the movie now.
I feel like the Misfits are involved with Hot Rod somewhere. I think like one of the tracks is played.
I have no idea. I'm not seeing it.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But what's your favorite scene from that movie? If you could pick one.
Have any of you seen it?
I've seen it one time, correct.
I haven't seen it.
And neither have I. Hmm. I think I saw a scene where he fell into a swimming pool or crashed into a swimming pool.
Yeah, he did that within the first probably 10 or 15 minutes of the movie.
Okay, then that's all I've seen.
then at the end, he tries to jump 15 buses, which is one more than Evel Knievel jumped.
I'm guessing it went really well.
Andy Samberg's done some weird movies. Like, my favorite Andy Samberg is the 7 Days in Hell. Did you see that?
7 Days in what?
7 Days in Hell. It was on HBO. And Kit Harington from Game of Thrones was in it. And it was about these two tennis players.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
It was so fucking weird and hilarious.
Who was in it?
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg and...
Yeah. And Kit Harington.
And Kit Harington.
Jon Snow.
It's funny because it's a mockumentary.
Yeah.
That is taken so seriously.
What like is it called?
7 Days in Hell. And it's about the longest tennis match. It's on what? HBO Go.
So it's on HBO it. Now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It should still be on there under movies. And it's not a really long movie because it's like a fake documentary, you know, mockumentary, as Nate said. But it's definitely worth checking out because that was insane and really very funny.
The first time I saw it, you introduced me to it.
And yeah.
I think I was 5 seasons in of Game of Thrones at the time. So
it's very weird seeing Jon Snow in this particular role.
Correct. It's so not Jon Snow.
So you saw the jarring. Facial hair and the long hair in it?
Yeah, but his hair was like up in his little man bun because he's a tennis player, you know? Yeah. When it was at the height of the man bun craze.
And it was about the longest tennis match ever. It lasted 7 days. And it's just volley after volley, and it's there's some hilarious stuff that goes on in that movie.
I'll have to watch that.
Veronica? What's your favorite comedy?
You had to ask me.
Well, I can't ask myself.
Well, can you ask yourself first and then come back to me?
How does that work?
What's your favorite movie, Nate? What's your favorite comedy?
What's my favorite comedy?
Yeah. See how I just did that?
My favorite comedy is Someone's at Our Door. What the heck? Who is it? It's
a small child?
It's a small child. They're probably trying to sell candy. So we're just going to let it roll.
He can see me.
Oh. We're doing a podcast, kid. Let me go check the door, folks. You answer the comedy question.
Oh, God, man.
Yes, that was awesome.
Okay. My favorite comedy. Well, I don't have a favorite comedy because I like all sorts of movies. And I don't know. I can't pick. I think if I had to say like one comedy that I can watch over and over and over again would probably be... When Harry Met Sally, just because it's classic and it's in my top 5 favorite movies.
So. Now I have to ask, now that we're kind of on this, before we get back to Nate, what are your top 5 favorite movies?
Well, okay. My favorite movie is Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
That was my night-night movie for a very long time when I was little.
Okay.
Because it was so long and it took me a long time to fall asleep, so that was perfect. And my second would be Interview with the Vampire. Which Nate
movie.
And I and Sarah just watched for the first time in years the other day.
That's actually not entirely true. You guys watched it. I watched WWE SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
Those things go great together.
Way to really take a part of my favorite movie experience.
No, I didn't mean to take apart from it. That wasn't what I was trying to
do. It's amazing, though.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of it. Now that I'm no longer on the spot, I did just think of what my favorite comedy is.
Sure.
And it's Robin Hood Men in Tights. Because I was thinking, what was my other night movie that I watched for 5 years straight every night, and it was Robin Hood Men in Tights. And watching it as an adult, I never realized how flamboyant it was, and it's so fabulous, and I love it even more.
I like to use the word fabulous to describe that movie.
Who's the guy who plays Robin Hood? It's like Cary
Elwes.
Yeah, from Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I loved him. I had also the biggest crush on him when I was little.
And also from Twister.
Can't believe that, what's his name? The guy who's in Homeland, he also, Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, yeah.
He was in The Princess Bride.
Yeah. I loved that movie. That was one of my favorites.
You were asking who Cary Elwes was in Saw?
Yeah.
In the first Saw movie, he's the main character.
He's the main guy. He's the
Saw.
He's the doctor, isn't he?
Oh, he's the one who has the ankle cuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
The one that eventually, doesn't he eventually saw off his leg?
Yeah, that's, see that.
Spoilers.
Hold on, that's the, we can talk about this for a second. That might be, in my opinion, the greatest movie twist ever, is the first Saw. I think there's something, everybody's seen it? You saw
yeah.
it? You
yeah.
saw it?
You saw I went it? To go see it in theaters.
Oh, incredible. Really? It was yeah. so good in theaters. That one and the second one, awesome in theaters, honestly. but that first movie had such a clever twist that Jigsaw is in there with him the whole entire experience.
I did not see that coming.
Oh, man, it's so clever.
Just when he gets up and just like,
yeah,
no.
He was there.
What year did that movie come out?
Oh, God. 2006, I think. Shit.
I can actually reach it.
2004.
Said? Yeah, 04. Damn. Yeah, what? I saw this, I think the summer before high school was when I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, Saw is a movie that's definitely up there for me, is something I really do enjoy.
Yeah. Even though I was only 14 at the time.
Nice.
So, we're the same age. We must be the same age, because I was 14 too when that movie came out.
So I don't know how I went to go see it in theaters, but I could have sworn that I did.
Do you have an older sister or brother?
No.
Did your parent take you?
Maybe. Maybe my... I feel like I went to go see it maybe with my mom.
That's probably how you did.
Awesome.
My stepdad took me to go see Scream in like 1996 when that came out.
Oh, gosh.
And I was not old enough to go see that movie, and it scared the shit out of me. And I wouldn't answer my phone at night for the longest time. And we still laugh about that.
I feel like the scaredest I've ever been in a movie was... The scaredest. Is that even a word? The scariest movie I've ever seen in theaters was definitely The Descent.
Ooh, that movie was scary.
Yeah.
I didn't like that movie.
I'll hold on to the scariest movie for me was still Paranormal Activity.
Did you see it in theaters?
In theaters. I had never saw a trailer. I knew nothing about the movie.
Oh.
So I went in, and I actually kind of thought it was real. And it was actually Brandon's wedding night. The wedding party went to see a movie, a scary movie, and we picked, it was either whatever Saw was out at the time, I think it was probably 5 or maybe, it might have been 6, or Paranormal Activity. I didn't know, and I was like, sure, Paranormal Activity, whatever, it's cool. And then, like, it comes on, and I'm like, oh, wow, these people are really interesting, and this is really, wow, that's fucking weird. And then it's like, oh, shit, that Ouija board just caught fire. Holy shit, there's footprint. I'm fucking freaking out now. I would not drive home.
The creepiest part of that movie.
You stayed with them on their wedding night.
Well, Wes and Rob lived with them at the time.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like I was invading some private, sacred
on their
space.
Wedding night.
Like, no, it was fine. I did eventually go home the next morning, but like, I was just like, I'm not going out in no goddamn cornfield by myself, especially after what I just saw. We looked it up and then found out it was a mock. It was like a Blair Witch style.
Clearly.
Thing.
Well, it's like when they did the time elapse of her just staring at him and just shifting slightly, I'm like, yep. Nope.
Yep. You know what? I remember when Paranormal Activity came out, that first one, and I remember it was like on a limited release in Chicago, and my friends at the time were like, we're going to go see this movie. It's supposed to be scary as shit. You want to come? And I was like, no, thank you. No, I don't. And they all went, and they were like super scared. And then when it came out and was re-released like in theaters everywhere, I went and saw it, and it was horrifying. That was a very scary movie.
Well said. It was horrifying. I didn't answer the question.
Sarah thought the end was dumb, though. Remember, she said that the other day. She's like, she thought the very end where the camera gets knocked over by the dude was stupid.
It was.
With the...
dumb. So, my favorite comedy.
Oh, yeah, back to it.
Now that I've stalled forever. I didn't really stall because I knew. It's easy. Pineapple Express. It's hands down my favorite stoner flick. It's hilarious. It has some of the funniest comedy moments in my
opinion.
We were
talking about how we wanted to watch that with you, AP, and have fish tacos.
Fish tacos.
You know that movie could also work if both main characters switch roles?
Correct.
Like, it just, that movie could work with both of them playing the other part. Without skipping a beat, it would be fine.
Yeah, Danny McBride as Dale Denton. And, or no, you're talking about
James Franco
and Seth Rogen switching roles. Yeah. Oh, man. That would actually almost be funnier. Seth as the drug dealer sitting back. Cross join.
You know? That would be funny. Yeah, that would work.
Because, like, he played that same role in that, was it Date Night? James Franco played a very similar character when he was, like, married to Mila Kunis.
Yes.
And they were going to try... I think they were selling them. No, it was... Were they drug dealers? I think that's what they were, yeah, in that.
In Date Night.
Yeah.
That's a weird... That's the one with Mark Wahlberg in the weird shirtless scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for hilarious.
No good reason.
Is that Tina Fey movie?
Yes.
Okay, Steve I did Carell, see that.
They're the old married couple who had a date night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember
fall into
that
the
movie.
Weirdest
that was actually
plot
pretty funny.
Ever.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one.
I forgot about that movie.
What's that? Oh,
that's speaking, isn't that the one where he goes like kill shot, kill shot?
Oh, he started the gun sideways.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I was gonna say, speaking of Seth Rogen and James Franco, they are. That's the trailer that we were talking about. You said that you wanted to talk about any upcoming trailers that we had seen.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I recently saw one.
Was it?
For the, they were going to make fun of Tommy Wiseau in The Room, and they're doing that movie.
Well, they weren't making fun. I think they're doing a...
Well, no, because they love it.
Yeah.
No,
it's the best, worst movie ever.
Yeah, The Room. And I actually saw a screening of The Room in Chicago with Tommy Wiseau hosting it a few years ago, and it was so fucking fun. Oh, my God. It was like Rocky Horror with the worst movie. It was great.
It's weird for me because I've never seen The Room. Have you seen The Room?
The Room?
With Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah, it's this movie called The Room, and it is allegedly the worst movie ever made, and it probably is because it was terrible.
They didn't see
Pandemic. Not to be confused with The Room about the woman in the basement with the boy being trapped.
Oh, just Room?
Yeah, not to be confused with that other movie.
Not to be confused with that at all.
Larson? Yeah, the Larson Academy
she
Award.
She won it, right?
Yeah,
yeah, she won
well,
it.
She deserved that movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. It was one of the few from that
show. She was really good in The United States at Tara, too.
I loved that show. I thought she was great. My favorite episode was when she was dressed up in that like pink Viking outfit and she had to sit on cakes on the computer so she could afford a Vespa or something. Yeah.
Soon to be Captain Marvel, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah, she's going to be Captain Marvel. Oh, I feel like that's going to be
really
dope.
Some of that
really
sweet Marvel money.
Oh, yeah, sweet everybody's Marvel getting money. All that Marvel money. For too long, they're going to pick up this podcaster to get in on that Marvel money. I'm going to make it so. We were talking about The Room.
Yeah,
that's where we were at.
Yeah, because James Franco and Seth Rogen are in a movie parodying the making of The Room, right?
Yeah. Franco is playing Tommy Wiseau.
Right, and I feel like it's perfect, and it's going to be so funny.
I don't know anything about The Room other than the funny thing Brando showed me with Tommy Wiseau in The Force Awakens, which...
And that YouTube video.
Yeah, somebody mashed Tommy Wiseau into the trailer for The Force Awakens, and okay. He's like, oh, hi, Mark. And then he gets hit in the face with a football. It's hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
I laughed really hard. So anyways, moving forward in this podcast, I feel like I'm still hosting, which is weird. Why am I doing that? You should be hosting.
You're just the natural
but
host.
I don't want to... Look, this is not the Nate Network. I've said that.
Uh-huh.
I don't want this to be the Nate Network.
But you do such a good job at it.
God
so
it.
Just,
I feel like
just
you feel,
leave this
you feel
conversation
the second
where
nature
it will
to
go.
Kind of pick up a lull and just... Carry it.
I don't know if I'm picking up a lull. I'm just finding an opening in the conversation to shift gears and to look at other things. We had House of Pizza today.
We did. We decided that we wanted to have our favorite pizza because we were going to be talking about our favorite movies today.
Can I mention that's a really cool homage because today's intro, we haven't talked about it yet. It's long. Not it's sorry, folks.
Very long.
We're going to only do it that way for one time.
Fantastically long.
Though. This one. And then next week it'll be next episode it'll be slightly different. But what I wanted to say, though, within that is we homaged the original intro because we have the Turtles opening the show.
Yeah. I always liked that.
It's
that intro for the old Foodies episode.
It's still Mr. Lou.
Mm-hmm.
We peppered some more stuff in and made it a little bit more spicy. But today we had pizza, which is the first thing we had on episode one as a full Foodies group. So we're literally going
episode
back to
one
the
we watch Ninja Turtles.
And we're relaunching. So yeah. I promise our episode one of every season we won't have House of Pizza.
Or maybe we should.
Or maybe we should. Fuck it. I don't know. Yeah,
we can do whatever we want. We're goddamn grown-ups.
Right.
That's a great...
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's get into some... I really want to know... We're going to start with Veronica here because I want to put her on the spot funnily. If you could take one movie and get rid of it because you think it's the worst movie ever, in your opinion, what would it be?
I can tell you right fucking now without even having to think about it.
Okay, sure.
It's called Rubber.
Is that the tire movie?
Yes, it is. It is the worst fucking movie. I would watch The Room over and over if Rubber could be wiped out of cinematic existence.
Please explain to AP what Rubber is.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So it's...
Is it the one with the haunted tires?
If so only it were the... It's singular tire that goes on a killing spree in some fucking desert. And I still don't understand why. I don't know how. And I don't care.
Yeah, you know what's really messed up? I saw that movie on Netflix one night when I was working.
I'm so sorry.
Really late. And I didn't know what it was. And I was just like, fuck it, I'll put it on. And I watched the whole thing. And I still... Like I like you said, I have no idea what it's about or who, why, what, when, or where. It's just you just become. It's like a train wreck you can't stop watching because this tire starts killing people. It's like the tire has a consciousness. That's a weird word to say, but yeah.
I feel like it sounds like it would work as a spinoff to Christine.
No, but see, it wasn't even interesting enough to like. It wasn't. It sucked. It was a piece of shit movie, and I hated it. And the person who made me watch it was notorious for picking terrible fucking movies. This is the same person that suggested that I watch a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun. So, I mean, when he said, let's watch this movie, Rubber, I was like, oh, this is going to be a lousy night. And it was a terrible movie. So that would be,
so to answer Rubber, your question. Boom,
Rubber, gone. That movie sucked.
Weird, I actually saw that movie, so I can concur that that's probably a good decision. Let's go to AP next.
I'm trying to think of a movie that I think should be erased from existence. That's a tough one. I don't think there's ever been a movie that I've watched or had to watch that I would say like that was a waste of my time.
Really? I've seen lots of those movies.
So they might have been like my taste, but I feel like there was one movie that I not necessarily. This is the only movie I've ever had to leave during the movie because the rest of the people I was in the group with hated that movie so much, and it was kicking and screaming. The Will Ferrell movie, the soccer ish.
Nope, didn't see it.
He was he played a coach. Mike Dick is in it for a minute. Yeah, it was. It wasn't Will Ferrell's. It wasn't a great movie. But I know, I have a thing. If I'm paying to watch a movie, even if it's bad, I will sit through the movie. Mm-hmm. You paid for it, I can enjoy it for another hour. But that's, I think, the only movie that I've ever actually had to leave. And I did watch it again after the fact. And it's, there's been worse Will Ferrell movies, but it still wasn't god-awful.
Has there ever been a movie that either of you two, Lauren, Nate, have you ever had to leave a movie theater because the movie was so bad?
No, but I have a funny story about a friend who did.
Okay.
And it's really stupid. Like, this person, it's so weird. They might be listening. Genuinely, I don't know. But, that's the nature of this game, right? So anyways, this said person and I and a couple of our friends went and saw Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. Oh, Talladega Nights, how could you walk out of such a hilariously great movie? Dude watched the whole movie. But when Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen started kissing at the end, he literally stood up, said fuck this movie aloud, and walked down.
Oh my god.
It drama. Was so embarrassing.
I bet.
I was just like, oh my god, dude, why would you fucking do? Come on, man. Like, why would you do that? Like, that's so douchey. So yeah, I did have somebody walk out of a movie in my party once. I've never personally walked out of a movie. It's stupid. You pay money to see it, you fucking watch it. That's how that works.
How about you, Lauren? Have you ever had to leave a movie?
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the reboot with Jessica Alba.
I don't think I saw it. If I saw it, I don't really remember it.
Okay, so what's the reason?
I don't know. It was just making me very emotional when he was torturing her fiance or whoever for whatever reason. That's the only movie that I can ever remember that I've had to like get up and leave.
Damn. That's kind of, it's weird to speak on a like similar thing. There's a movie that I saw once in theaters and I was like, oh, I'll watch that again when it comes to DVD. And then my buddy got it first and he's like, dude, the DVD includes all these bonus features and all this extra content in the movie, like it's a director's cut, it's so much cooler. And then I was told some of the things that happened in this movie and I was like, I refuse to watch it, sorry. But that's Rob Zombie's Halloween remake.
Oh, I saw that.
But the extended edition features a pretty violent rape scene, I guess. And I was just like, nope, no thanks. So,
actually, I just remembered a movie that I think should be erased from existence.
Sure.
It was the House of Wax remake that featured Paris Hilton.
Yeah, that movie was pretty pointless, and like, it really served no purpose. I mean, it didn't do anything for horror as a genre or anything.
Like, when she got stabbed through, like, her Achilles tendon and to run away, I'm like, what? Like, no. And then, like, just a lot of not
good.
Can
I make an argument for that shitty shark movie with what's-her-name from...
Blake Lively?
No.
That shark movie?
Actually, didn't...
It might have been Blake Lively. What was her name?
What's the shark movie?
Did it just recently come out?
It was one that like took place like in the lakes. Like it didn't take place like out on the ocean.
Oh.
In the lakes. Was it a Shark Lake movie?
All I can think about is Lake Placid, but that was a mega crocodile. Yeah. It was like a big crocodile, which I loved that movie.
I forget what the name of this movie
was. A shark in a lake?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit, I'll go to the Google machine.
Google it.
They're talking about Shallows. I'm like, The Shallows wasn't bad.
Was that the Blake Lively one?
That was Catherine, the one where she was like trapped on a rock.
Catherine McPhee was the actress's name.
Then I definitely didn't see that. I don't know. But now I just want to watch Lake Placid.
I don't think I've ever seen any of the Lake Placid movies.
Are they good? It's so dumb. Bridget Fonda and Bill Pullman.
Oh, Bill Pullman.
It was really funny, though. It was like one of those movies that I saw when I was younger and loved it when I was younger, and watching it as an adult, I was like, wow, this is a piece of shit, but man, nostalgia, represent.
I spelled Catherine wrong. God, I did it again. I got fat fucking thumbs.
You Googling it?
Yeah, McPhee?
Yeah.
Nate, do you have the Simpsons movie on Blu-ray?
Goddamn right.
Shark Night 3D.
Oh, I did see that. I took my sister to go see that.
I did not see that movie.
Lauren is faster than me by a lot. Oh, there it is, too. 2011, Shark Night 3D.
I did. I took Natalie, my little sister, to go see that in the theater. And just...
They drive to Sarah's vacation home on a private lake. So somehow sharks got into this lake and fucked shit up, apparently.
Yeah, I remember that movie. It was actually kind of funny.
Maybe that's the prequel, or maybe that's the spiritual sequel to Sharknado. Maybe the sharks were in the tornado and then fell into the lake. And that's how they were displaced. And then they had Shark Night 3D. I know what movie I would get rid of. 7 Pounds.
The Will Smith movie?
Yes. It made me genuinely way too fucking sad. Movies shouldn't do that to people. It was the big, like, I saw it in theaters. It was the biggest bummer I've ever witnessed in my life. It was so sad. Have you seen it?
I've not.
Have you seen it?
Wait, what is it?
7 Pounds.
Is it the one his son's
No, in? I've seen, what's it called? I feel like it's called, like, 9.5 pounds or something. Or maybe, I forget. Grams. Nine and a half grams, yeah, maybe.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I never saw 7 Pounds because I just have a really hard time watching movies that make me feel emotional anymore. Like, ever since I had my son, I can't watch shit like that. I can't watch sad things. I just, it awoken up some untapped, like, emotion in me that's just like, no, you don't need this kind of negativity in your life, man.
Playing off of that, is there a movie that anyone here has seen that unexpectedly gave them a emotional reaction?
Yep.
Like, they go in thinking one thing. All the time.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I know. I can easily do it. Guardians 2.
Guardians 2?
Every time. Makes me cry. I've seen it like 4 times now. Every time.
The ending?
Oh, God, yes. The Yondu scene? Are you kidding me? Done.
Is it funny knowing that he fell asleep during a lot of
that? Yeah, that's actually really funny that, like, Michael Rooker just passed out on set during Guardians. Well, like,
he would film him. You can't breathe very heavily, so you have to breathe slow and calm, and he just put himself to sleep for like 12 takes. I was like, that's the best.
I love that actor. He was so good in Slither.
I knew you were going to
And
bring
I will
up
bring
Slither.
It up every single time that man is brought up, because Slither is my jam.
But does
that's
that make
another
you
one
emotional?
Of my favorite movies. Slither?
Yeah.
Not like to the point where I would cry or something.
But it doesn't give you a big emotional reaction.
No. I have Steel Magnolias is what does that for me. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I will cry every single time I watch it because it's unbelievably sad. But it's also incredibly funny, which is the whole point, the whole laughter through tears thing. Yeah. You know?
I had to adjust.
I guess
I'm all tangled.
Guardians 1 at the beginning was really, ooh, really sad. Yeah. I wasn't ready for that when we went and saw
with
that.
The
mother,
how it stretched,
and the little son just being left. That just broke my heart as a mother. I did not like that.
Yeah. What about you, Lauren? Anything get you in the feels at a movie? Other than, well, you did just say Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so I guess.
Yeah.
That's really where we started in all this, huh?
Yeah.
My bad. I kind of unintentionally replayed off of your question.
It'd probably have to be, obviously, any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
All right. Does that include The Hobbits?
Only the end of the Battle of the Five Armies.
Didn't see it.
No?
No, but I didn't want finality in my Lord of the Rings. At some point, I still have a Lord of the Rings movie I get to watch. Someday.
Wow.
Did you end with the second Hobbit movie, then?
The Desolation of Smaug, or Smaug?
I saw that one. I saw all of them. Yes, that was the second one, right? One.
The first one was just The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Yeah.
Then it was Desolation, then Battle of Five Armies.
Yes, I didn't see the very last one.
Same.
Yeah, I liked it. I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, so did I. I went to go see it with my best friend, Val.
Aww.
Dupe.
Yeah, when I think of Lord of the Rings movies, I think of nostalgia, which brings me back to Harry Potter, which has been kind of fun because we just introduced my little son to the very first Harry Potter movie. And he fell asleep because it was kind of late.
2 days ago was a very big day in Harry Potter, the Harry Potter world.
Oh, yeah, it was the 19th anniversary.
It was, yeah.
It was where it got to 19 years later.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. September 1st, 2017 is the latest as the Harry Potter books go, like, chronologically.
That's the epilogue.
Yep.
Yep.
At the end of Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. I totally forgot all about that.
I did,
too. We're living in a future without any Harry Potter written in it right now.
For now.
Oh, that's weird.
No wonder it feels so weird.
Hopefully she'll get back to it. It's weird. Do you think we live in a golden age of, like, movies? Like, and maybe even books, too? Because think about, like, J.K. and George R.R. and you got Tolkien's books and, like...
I don't think we're
the generation who, like, everybody now writing a book or doing movies that are going to be big like that have those standards to live up to. Think about trying to write the next Game of Thrones. But you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
But that's the problem, I think, because we live in a world of reboots, sequels, and adaptions.
Yeah, everything's being remade. They're even remaking one of my favorite movies, Heather's. That's going to be remade as a TV show.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they've been talking about it for years, and then I finally saw something on, like, Entertainment Weekly or something that said that they cast the pilot or whatever for the new Heather's show. So everything, there's no original ideas anymore. Everybody's just recycling and reusing and...
Well, did you see they're making an all-female Lord of the Flies?
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't... That's the whole point of the movie is not that. Like, you can't... Someone joked was like, oh, so they're going to form a normal society of people because they're not men?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I never saw Lord of the Flies, so I don't know anything about it.
Did you read the book?
Nope.
That was a sad book.
Yep. Nope.
That was something that, like... you would probably read in high school.
Yeah.
I got my sadness from The Hatchet. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, that was sad, too. Ugh. We had to read that.
I feel like whenever I think of The Lord of the Flies, for whatever reason, I think of the TV show Lost.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show. Yeah. I remember watching Lost. I binge-watched it after the fact.
Never watched it?
No.
What? You've never seen Lost? Never watched
Lost.
That was a really fun show to be interested in.
I only watched it when it came out on Netflix. I did not watch it at all when it was on.
So did you get to binge watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best. I wasn't watching it when it was airing on TV, but it was on like abc.com and you could download all the episodes, you know, so I caught up that way. And I fucking loved that. That was my jam. I thought the end was horrible.
I think I watched the pilot, actually. I think I lost interest when they killed a polar bear.
I saw what he did, too.
When they killed a polar bear on the island, yeah, they had polar bears on the island.
Like, that was like, why is there a polar bear on the island? This is getting weird. I'm done.
See, this is what my issue is with TV. I feel like all of the shows that I really enjoy have an excellent first and second season, and then the third season is probably where it's going to be good for the last time. And then all my favorite shows trail off after season four, and they get so convoluted and so filled with characters that they can't even, like, develop coherent, like, plots, and it's just, it bugs.
Is that how you felt about Lost?
That's how I felt about Lost, yeah. That's how I feel about all the network shows.
You ever watch Buffy?
Yeah, I used to watch Buffy. I didn't watch all of it, though. That was, like, what I would watch on, what was that, like, on WGN or something?
WGN, and then it moved to UPN after its fifth season.
Yeah, I remember that.
Season, it was on UPN.
Yeah. I did like Buffy, but I didn't watch it as religiously. I was, like, more into, I was into Friends. I watched Friends all the time.
Yeah.
But I wasn't allowed to watch Dawson's Creek, which came on, like, right before Friends. You know, Channel 9.
I was going to say something.
Sorry. Then,
oh, network TV. I actually can disagree with you a little bit about the season three being the trail off. Dexter proved that wrong. Breaking Bad proved that wrong. And I think Walking Dead was bad during season three and four, and then it picked back up around six.
Well, I watched I don't know. I'm more referring to, like, all the shows that you probably wouldn't have watched, like my shitty soapy shows like Grey's Anatomy.
Has Game of Thrones ever had a bad season?
No.
I don't know.
It's had slow seasons. I think that it might have some slightly unmemorable seasons. Like, I binge watched season 1 through 5, and then I got to watch 6 in real time, and then 7 in real time. And binge watching 1 through 5, I feel like a lot of stuff that happens in, like, 3 and 4, I don't really remember, like, exactly what happened, because it happened so quick, and then you think you're attached to a character like Robb Stark. I'm like, fuck yeah, Robb Stark, you're the up, and then he's gone. And then it's like, fuck yeah, Jon Snow, and then he gets sent to the wall. And then it's like, oh, and then now he's dead, you know? So, like, there's so many.
God, we could have an entire podcast just dedicated to Game of Thrones.
Well, within the Journey into Comics Network, when Game of Thrones comes to a close, we do have a huge plan mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do the big plan, we are going to get to talk some Game of Thrones.
Especially once I get caught up with season
four.
I'm at the end of season 4 right now.
Yeah, fool.
Catch up.
What you doing?
It's hard. When you watch a show with a significant other and you're restricted to when you can watch it, it slows things down. I remember you talking to Brandon about that at one point, that there's shows that I think Brandon can't get caught up on because he's watching it with...
Brandon can't watch The Flash or Arrow because Caitlin's watching it with him now, and he can't break away because, well... And then maybe they'll get back to it eventually when Thrones is over.
Yeah.
Do we get everybody's... Did you pick a movie that you would knock off? Shark Knight, right?
Yeah.
Decided Shark Knight, and then I picked...
Yeah, that was a totally pointless movie.
What did I pick? What was my...
It was after...
Oh, 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was trying to get back to where we were before
we tangented. Yeah, I had to think for a second. I was like, wait, where were we?
We could tangent into food for a minute.
Okay.
So you bake.
Mm-hmm.
AP has cooked for us before in small capacity. Do you do any home cooking?
I just baked a cake for the first time in probably like a year the other night.
How'd it turn out?
It turned out okay.
That's good. What kind of cake was it?
It was just chocolate with chocolate icing. I got it from Target.
Nice.
I didn't get very fancy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I don't care. Like... Cake is cake.
Yeah, cake is great.
Cake. I love cake.
I'm big on breakfast casseroles now.
Really?
Ooh. I make that for my week. I get just because I make it for work, and I don't like to, like, make a breakfast for myself when I get up, so I, like, make it, like, Sunday. I make a big, like, tray of, like, a breakfast casserole. I cut it up, and I put it in, like, Tupperware, and I grab it on my way out for the door. And it's usually, like, it's pretty sure it's, like, sausage, eggs, cheese. And I've been mixing up trying to do, like, a crust, and I actually grabbed a pizza crust mix, made that, laid it out, and then filled it with the egg stuff, and then baked it. And it actually worked out pretty well.
That's a good idea.
It sounds really tasty.
You could put, like, hash browns in it,
yeah, too. Yeah, I used, like, those southern fried potatoes as a base. And those worked really well.
Aldi's actually has really good frozen potatoes like that, like the chopped up diced O'Brien potatoes.
So I did that actually for the last one I made, is I used the pizza crust, and I took some of those potatoes, and I pushed it into the crust, Mm-hmm. After like it baked for like a few minutes, and I pushed the potatoes in there, and then I put the eggs and sausage on top.
Nice.
Because I don't sometimes I don't like a ton of potatoes in each bite, but it worked out pretty well with just kind of having it intermixed with the dough.
Okay, that sounds good.
Have you made anything interesting lately, Nate?
No, but I'm always cooking up ideas in my head that I want to try. I like to kind of cook off the cuff. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, you're more of like a chopped kitchen kind of guy.
Really, I think
I can give Nate a mystery basket and he'll make something pretty tasty.
I just usually like, I do. I just like riffing, and I don't see ingredients as like that will never work together with that. I see them in my head as like, okay, how's that flavor gonna enhance this thing, regardless of what the cooking rules are.
You made some good pork chops for us the other night. That was maple bacon wrapped pork chops. Oh,
yeah, maple bacon wrapped pork chops that I seared in the pan.
I would love to moderate like an Iron Chef style episode with just you two trying to cook something.
Oh, my God.
Like,
I would
pick like three ingredients and you get whatever else is in the kitchen to like make something.
Ooh.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, challenge accepted. We need to do that.
We could, like,
maybe we can film it for some bonus content.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of bonus content, we can do any special foodies things. Like, if you ever want to like film yourself cooking a meal, we can put it up on our Patreon as exclusive content. And if you want to like explain how you cook a dish or whatever, I'm sure the audience would like stuff like that. And plus, if they're a patron and they get access to all of our stuff anyways.
The whole Journey into Comics Network is now available on Patreon.
Yeah, including Game Addicts, which is cool. They're finally back home.
Podcastrophy. That one has been my favorite so far.
You know, it's weird being the executive vice president, because there are two executive vice presidents and no president, just so you guys know.
Of the network.
Of the network. We don't have a network president. Don't worry. You won't ever
figure
out
why. Do I have to call
you
Mr. Executive Vice President now?
Whoa.
Is that business cards made up?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good American Psycho reference.
That was. This color is bone.
Cillian Rail.
Cillian Rail.
But
what's he Paul Allen's card?
It's weird because I get to listen to all these shows that all my friends are making now. And then I'm like, man, Poor Report Episode 1. I see what you're going for, and then I got to hear Defending the Rant, and like, you're finding yourself. It's great. Podcastrophy Episode 1 is like...
And I love the name.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The Poor Report.
I like it.
It's great.
It's grand. And it does and it does you justice, because it's a place that you know, and I think that's good. So like, Podcastrophy is awesome. Butt Stuff Episode 1 was awesome.
Yes.
The name, you know, the name is different, but I dig it. It's so bizarre.
I love the dog sidebar in the first episode.
Oh, yeah. Totally. They just...
Turn the dog out. I'll be right back.
Gotta take the dog out. And that's one thing I thought was great. That show's totally different because they aren't afraid to take breaks in the show. And pretty much every show on the network, I think we just turn it on and...
Power through.
Get down to business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have a mixture of shows. That's one thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, the network is becoming very eclectic. You're right. Lots of different things for everybody.
With more stuff on the way.
Yeah.
Plus, there's usually a fair amount of sometimes crossover topics, which is great because you get other people's opinions on the same thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's been talking about Game of Thrones, for instance. And
yeah, we did the Phantom Yawn that came out on Monday. Brando and I did. And we call it the Phantom Yawn because we recorded really way too late. We got on the horn with each other at like 9:45 because it was like I got home from my dad's house and then Brandon was getting his kid settled and then getting some food in him. And then we started talking and 2 hours later it was like, oh, fuck, do you want to get down to this podcast? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm so excited. And then we're doing the podcast and I'm watching the battery on the iPad go to like 3%. And I'm like, oh boy, we're going to have to wrap this up. And then we got a case of the yawns in the middle of the episode. So we decided that episodically, anytime we have a super late night episode where we have a bunch of yawns, it'll just be a next one in the saga. So the next yawn episode will be Attack of the Yawns. And then we'll have Revenge of the Yawn. A new yawn. Yawn Strikes Back. Return of the Yawn. The Yawn Awakens. The Last Yawn. Rogue Yawn.
That's Rogue, the yawn. One that gets
me. Rogue Yawn. That's one that just gets you out of nowhere.
Dorks.
Wouldn't it be the Phantom Yawn?
Yeah.
Well, that's this first episode we just dropped comes out. Well, okay. This is the thing about podcasting. We're very timey-wimey. Because, like, this episode that we're recording today, Sunday, for our patrons, will go up probably tonight or tomorrow. And for everybody else, it drops on Wednesday. But the show that I'm referring to, I already recorded, comes out 2 days ago for anybody who's listening to us on the network, if that makes any sense. Because the show comes out on Monday, and then Journey into Comics, episode 155, The Phantom Yawn, comes out on Monday, and then this comes out on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we're like talking about a thing that already happened.
I just picture Nate at a whiteboard just drawing circles and be like, well, we're actually, this is where
a dry erase board.
That's kind of how it is, though, really. It gets confusing when you're talking about things that have already happened but haven't yet happened.
It's like trying to watch Barry Allen explain what timeline he's in. This is like,
I think the secret to, did you know what's weird about Flash, by the way? Did you hear this?
What?
That the next solar eclipse happens on what would be the, like, around the finale of Flash season 10.
Really?
And they didn't really intentionally plan it, but it, like, coalesces with the date that's on the newspaper.
Interesting.
April 24th of 2024, or whatever it is.
So people who haven't been watching The Flash will have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Totally, but we'll move on. I wanted this episode to be like a getting to know us kind of episode. We've got our special guest here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got you guys here. I'm back. So let's go around and talk about just like some of your favorite movies all time. Doesn't matter. Like, well, let's just go with top two.
Okay.
That come off the top of your head. If you want, I can start, or you guys want to start, it doesn't matter.
Well, I was already asked this question earlier. Oh, yeah.
While you were talking to the people at the door, she mentioned that one of her...
We were just going to start talking about our favorite movies, so this is a perfect time to do it. And I had mentioned that my favorite movie is Gone with the Wind.
I knew that.
Yeah. And then I had mentioned Interview with the Vampire, and I had also mentioned When Harry Met Sally. Those are, like, my favorites. And Steel Magnolias. It's like those movies that I just mentioned have always been my favorites, and I've never changed.
What makes Interview with a Vampire your favorite, or one of your favorite movies?
Well, it kind of just goes back to me being young. It was like that movie came out in 1994, and I remember being at the pool in the summer, you know, out at the pool with my mom, and she would she had seen this movie because she loved Anne Rice books, and she had like tons of Anne Rice books, and she thought it would be fun to tell me the story of the little girl vampire from this movie, because I was like 7, and I just ate that shit up, and I loved it. And then at some point I watched the movie when I was younger, and I just loved it so much, because it was so dramatic and fabulous, and Brad Pitt was gorgeous, and Tom Cruise was so good in it, you know. And then I read the books, and I became obsessed with Anne Rice. And I loved everything that she wrote. And she's actually, they're going to be doing another adaptation of the Vampire Chronicles. And I don't know what network is doing it, but it's going to be like a series. And I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's HBO or something like that.
I keep waiting for them to do The Witching Hour.
Oh my God, I know.
Like an HBO series or something, that would be amazing.
Yes, The Witching Hour was my other favorite series.
Blackwood Farm
was so good. Blood Canticle was great. I have a signed copy of Prince Lestat, because I love Anne Rice. And when I went on my honeymoon to New Orleans in 2010, I was Facebook friends with Anne Rice, because I'm that kind of dork. And I sent her a message saying, I'm going on my honeymoon in New Orleans. And I just was going on about how I was so excited to eat beignets and walk down the Garden District and all that. And she sent me the sweetest response back, like, you know, all like talking about, oh, the jasmine and blah, 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 and the smells, and I wish I was there too, and blah, blah, blah. And ever since that, I was like, I love Anne Rice, and I will never not love her.
Is that the only movie that Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise have done together?
That's a great question.
I'm trying to think if they've done anything else since then.
Go to the Google machines.
I thought they were really good for what it was. Anne Rice even wrote the screenplay for that movie, and so it was very close, you know, to the original story and concept. And I'm really looking forward to what they do with the Vampire Chronicles. I recently posted on her Facebook page a couple of months ago, and I said, "Are you going to do anything with the Mayfair witches?" And she's like, "No, not at this time."
It's just about the vampires. So I'm excited. You know, my like 15-year-old goth self is super pleased and excited about that.
Looks like that's the only movie they did together. I literally just typed Brad Pitt.
I'm so bummed that it was Tom Cruise in that movie, though, even though he was great.
Interview with the Vampire, 1994.
That is it.
Because they had a good rapport in that movie.
They did. They had a great chemistry. And Tom Cruise, despite the fact that it was Tom Cruise, was really good as this character. Like, he brought this, like, congenial, like, killer
to
life. And he was so charming in it and so funny. Like, it was unexpectedly funny, you know?
You can believe him to be this old vampire who's been around for so long.
Right. But he was also, like, in the books, they call him the Brat Prince, and I thought Lestat was, like, or Tom Cruise was really good as that role in the movie. I don't really like any of his other movies.
But I don't really like, what was it called, Minority Report?
I liked that movie.
That movie had a good concept, but I did not like Tom Cruise as the lead.
No, I did not like him in it either.
I actually really liked the series they did.
Yeah, didn't
like,
they?
Last, Fox? Like, 2 years ago? Last year? Fox? Yeah, I think it only got like 10 episodes because it just didn't catch on with a lot of people. But I really liked, because it was kind of a continuation, because it was after they discontinued that program, and it's them kind of dealing with the fallout with the triplets kind of growing up. It was very interesting.
Don't hate me, but I've never seen a Mission Impossible movie in its entirety.
I've only seen 1 and 2. And I wouldn't hate you for that, because, like I said, I'm not a huge Tom Cruise guy, you know? It's weird. Like, he's in a lot of stuff that I've seen, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's what made me love that movie. Like, Rain Man wasn't Tom Cruise as the reason I love Rain Man. It's Dustin Hoffman. You know, you look at something like Tropic Thunder. Tom Cruise is actually was one of the things that surprised me in that movie, because you wouldn't know it was Tom Cruise until the credits roll.
Right.
You have no idea.
He just seems to keep putting out the same movie over and over, these big budget supposed blockbusters that end up flopping.
Edge of Tomorrow, was that the one?
They're getting a sequel to that movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Edge of Tomorrow, what?
They're both going
back.
That's
where they die, and he keeps coming back and restart the day over and over.
That was a different kind of movie. That one I could appreciate.
I did not like War of the Worlds, but I don't know anybody that really liked
that
movie.
No, I didn't like that one either.
It had a young Dakota Fanning, and she was just screaming for like the whole movie.
Well, I think Tom Cruise is not ready to give up an action star status. He wants to be an action star, and I think he hasn't hit that point where like...
Well, like, he is an action star.
But when does he recognize but he's about to be
and
an
that's all he's
going to
be.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think he's struggling with a lot of these big action stars of like the 80s. He's kind of trying to get that. He's trying to fight it.
Right.
And it's going to start being sad. He's kind of getting into some more drama, which I think he could probably do pretty well.
He's like the next generation Stallone.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize to hang up the boots. Just be smart about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you've done it. You did the thing. You were a fucking megastar. Scientology literally sucks your cock every day. You've done it, bro. You've reached the top.
Just
be done.
Or wait a few years and then do some drama that might change everyone. Do that Michael Keaton kind of come from...
Oh, Michael Keaton. Oh, Be Still My Heart. I love
Keaton's
him.
Keaton's a legend. He did so good in The New Spidey.
Oh, he was great in that. That was a really good movie.
I also loved him in Birdman.
The new Spider-Man movie, Homecoming.
He was Vulture.
He was the main villain, I guess you'd call him.
Michael Keaton?
Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
He was so good.
Yeah.
Do you not know?
And he was in that movie, Birdman.
Birdman's such a good movie.
That was such a good movie,
Especially
wasn't
that movie
it?
Had zero, like, no real cuts in it. It was all...
One shot.
Yeah, that's wild.
That was such an interesting movie.
Well, and it was almost a show about him as himself, because there was the... If, like, you replace the bird with a bat, it's his story.
Exactly. Everyone notices him for the one thing he is, and if he's not that thing, he's nothing.
Right.
Ugh, such a great concept.
I need to watch that movie again. I own it.
So we talked about some of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You said Gone with the Wind,
mm-hmm.
Interview with the Vampire, Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Gone with the Wind is an old movie.
Yeah, that came out in 1939.
Sure. It actually, I think, has the world record for most ticket sales, because I think... What year was it? 39?
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the same year that The Wizard of Oz came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben-Hur. That was... 1939 is considered to be, like, the golden year of movies in, like, most movie critics' minds and their opinions, because that's when all these incredible classic movies came out.
Right. They haven't remade too many of those movies, have they?
No.
I know they recently did Ben-Hur, but that one didn't do very well.
Mm-hmm. They did but do I, that, and they are always doing different iterations of The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
But nobody will ever touch Gone with the Wind, no, because it's way too taboo in this day and age, which is interesting because it took a long time for this movie to not be taboo and for it to be more accepted as, like, an American classic piece of literature, you know, Margaret Mitchell. And I don't know, now it's at the point where it would just bring up too much tension, and
I read something recently, some like news article about, I think they canceled a screening due to its subject matter again.
Yeah, I read about that the other day, and I read the headline about that, and I didn't read the article because I was just like, well, you know, what are you gonna do? But I mean, the reason that I love this movie is because it's something from my childhood, and it's something that I'm always going to think is special. My mom, I don't know, I watched this movie with her a lot, and we made fun of it a lot, and we even had an Oscar party, and the theme was Gone with the Wind 1 year, and she dressed up in a curtain dress, and it was perfect. Like, I don't know, I loved it, and it was like, I don't know, I think it's more about the spirit of this woman and less about, you know, detentions and stuff.
Interesting.
It's more about resilience and just doing what you have to do to survive.
Awesome. Well said. Lauren, a couple of your favorite movies, what are they?
Probably Blade Runner would be one of them.
Awesome. Harrison Ford. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
I think I have that on VHS.
I think I wanted to buy the super rare collector's edition on Blu-ray, and then I missed out. It was awesome. It was like five discs of bonus content.
They'll probably bring it back when they release 2049.
Yeah, what do you think about that? You like Blade Runner, they're doing the 2049.
Doesn't it have Jared Leto in it?
And Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Weird. That is the weirdest two names you could have put together.
But they bring back Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that I do like. When does that come out? I feel like it's
soon. They've been dropping
October.
Yeah.
I was going to say towards the end of this year, so it's like a month away now.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about
right
now.
We're exiting blockbusters.
They are.
Yeah, summer's over.
They're doing, I don't know if you'd call it a soft, I guess it would be a soft reboot of Blade Runner.
But it's also a continuation because he's still playing himself later.
But it's still a continuation story.
Is Harrison Ford in it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Playing
shit.
Decker.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. There's only one trailer out for it, I think. It hasn't been getting a ton of hype.
Basically a teaser that was released.
They released a Comic-Con trailer, though.
It really wasn't like anything
detailed. They released a new trailer, I think, at Comic-Con, I think.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I think it had a little bit more content to it.
Hmm. Awesome.
I think one thing about Harrison Ford is liking to revisit these characters from his earlier movies.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing. If they're still I still want to see them get another Indiana Jones, right?
I don't know if that'll happen. If they cast Chris Pratt, it'll happen. He'd make a great Indy.
I think it just depends on the director at this point.
Just bring back Shia LaBeouf. Come on.
Just
do it. Is that the movie you want to erase from existence?
Movie? For Indiana Jones.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. The Indiana Jones
fourth
one.
That movie was terrible.
I thought you were talking about Transformers for a minute, and I was like, no.
No. Michael Bay. He's not allowed in this podcast.
Can that be the slogan? Michael Bay is not allowed in this podcast.
You know it's bad, though, when Shia LaBeouf leaves the series is when it goes downhill?
Yeah, that is weird because Shia LaBeouf leaving Transformers, they got worse. Of course, I haven't seen a Transformer since 2, so I wouldn't really know too much.
I saw the one
he
did.
Wasn't he in the first 3?
Yeah.
I saw the one after the girl left.
Oh, Megan Fox.
I saw the one with the blonde model.
You saw 1, 2, and 3.
So the one where the model couldn't act. And I know Anthony Hopkins did one.
Her name was Rosie something Whiteley.
Oh, the chick from Mad Max.
Yeah. She played the pregnant yeah. wife of his.
Man, that was a good remake. If we're going to talk about what remakes are actually good.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that was the most boring movie I ever saw.
I didn't
really?
Like, I did, I didn't like the new Mad Max, though. Oh, I thought
it was fucking rad and metal as hell. It was like a metal opera.
I mean, it wasn't cars. Mad Max. It was had nothing to do with Max, really.
I know, whatever.
Like, I've never seen any of the Mad Max movies.
Max
any
is
of
very that. Monosyllabic throughout that whole movie. I'm not I've never seen the original Mad Max.
To the front of the vehicle for a good chunk of that movie. Like, I saw it during... I saw the Best Picture showcase from last year and this year. And it was one of those, like, eight movies I saw. And it just... I don't know.
It was weird, man.
Like, my girlfriend fell asleep during that movie. Like,
and I just thought it was really interestingly shot. Like, from the cinematography point of view and the effect point of view. And I really liked Charlize Theron in it.
The dude in the red jumpsuit with the guitar was actually in a jumpsuit strapped to a car on a guitar swinging around. That was
It was so cool.
See, now I got to rewatch this movie. Jesus.
I
think you fell asleep. I don't think you watched the whole thing.
I did fall asleep.
The director to do a Batman movie.
Ooh.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
I just like how stylized it was. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I think that director needs... If he had another mainstream...
George Miller, is that his name?
Yeah. If he did that, I think it would be quite a movie. Might be a lot of Batmobile stuff, but it'd still be...
The whole movie's just one giant Batmobile chase.
Wasn't there some kind of Batman-related casting news? Well, that was the Joker.
Casting news. Oh, yeah, there's all this Joker stuff. With, talking about Leo and possibly... I mean, I think that Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio being tied to a Joker movie is Geoff Johns just trying to get...
Well, it's also a Todd Phillips-directed film.
That's so... Todd Phillips?
Of Hangover fame. Is the attached director with Scorsese producing. And they're trying to grit DiCaprio, but I think he's too old for an origin, I think.
No. Well,
what if he played the original Joker?
What if he played
from the 80s?
A younger Nicholson?
Because it was supposed to take place in the 80s, right?
Or yeah, he could play a younger Nicholson.
That's actually, we were just talking about that two days ago on...
Well, did you see that they're doing a comic that it's going to be Joker being cured and he's going to go as Jack Napier in a comic?
No.
Did you hear about this one called The White Knight?
I didn't.
So he becomes clear-headed again and goes after... Batman as a menace, so it's like an Elseworlds type comic. It sounded really interesting. I've seen some ads for it, but yeah, they confirmed he's gonna be the first comic Jack Napier that's not tied to a adaption.
Man, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Nicholson's gonna make some money off that too.
So moving back into movies, you said Blade Runner, but is there a second one that you could think of that's like an all-time favorite, maybe a go-to?
One that you can watch over and over and will never get sick of.
It'd probably have to be the horror movie, The Cabin in the Woods.
That was Chris Hemsworth's in that?
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. I remember Joss that Whedon, movie. Joss Whedon wrote it, or maybe he directed it, and he wrote it.
Like made a while ago, like 2007, but it didn't get a release till like 2012 or 13.
Yeah, I think it was 2012. Was it
Jason Bateman? And Sigourney Weaver in that movie? Or one of them?
Sigourney Weaver was in it. Yeah. She came in at the end. She played like the administrator.
The lady in charge.
I haven't seen it yet.
You've never seen it?
Yeah.
Then we can't tell him about it then. Because wasn't expecting what happened in this movie to happen.
Also, yeah. She's also like the woman in charge in
that Paul. That movie had a great twist in it.
It really did. It had a really good twist.
That and Get Out. Have you seen Get Out yet?
Not yet.
Get Out was a fantastic
That's Jordan Peterson directed.
Jordan Peele.
I knew what I meant. Jordan Peterson's
the best twist.
I haven't seen it.
It's a movie we have to watch on here, I think. If you haven't seen it, we need to watch that movie. Okay. I'll watch that movie again gladly.
Cool.
Best movie of the year, I think.
Wow.
Compared to what it's, up to this point.
Okay, that's fine. I like Trumbo, by the way, a couple years ago.
Also a good movie.
Such a great Cranston film. I like eclectic weird stuff, though.
What about you, Nate? What's your favorite?
Oh, my favorite.
What's the all-time that you would just go to over and over?
Pulp Fiction, hands down.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's weird because I will never forget watching Pulp Fiction for the first time. It was like 1996, probably, or 97. And it was on like Cinemax or something late at night. And I was staying at my mom's, and she had Cinemax. And... you know, the our intro. I was just like, what is this, you know? And I sat down and I watched the whole movie till like 4:30 in the morning, and it was amazing. And I remember the next day I told my dad, I was like, I finally saw that Sam Jackson movie, Pulp Fiction. He's like, no, you didn't. You saw some spoof on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, no, I saw the movie. It was great. And he's like, you watched a guy get his head blown off? And I was like, yeah, it was awesome. And he's like, I know it's a good movie. You probably shouldn't have watched it. And then I've been obsessed with it ever since.
Did he get mad that you watched it?
Not really terribly. He couldn't really be pissed at me. He didn't. It wasn't his fault parenting. It was my mom's fault parenting. So he was just like, whatever, you know?
Pulp Fiction was a really great movie. Still it's like one of the most quotable.
I know that's the worst thing ever.
Is that real?
Is this still real life?
I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen
Pulp Fiction, Lauren, right?
Yeah.
Never seen Pulp Fiction. It's the one that I'll be shamed for, is that I haven't seen that movie.
We should shame you for that. I'm not about shaming anybody, yeah, but I'd shame you for that.
I feel like right now you telling me it stings a little bit more. Like, I feel like...
I still haven't seen this. I still haven't seen Fight Club. Those are the two movies I haven't seen. You know,
Fight Club is a little bit more forgivable, I'll say.
Yeah, but you know what? Nate hasn't seen a lot of movies that most people have seen.
Have any of you seen Reality Bites?
Yes, no. I've seen that movie. I do, too.
No, I haven't seen Reality Bites.
I'm a 90s girl.
If I were to pick my second go-to, though, of an all-time movie classic, it's The Dark Knight. I saw that movie 18 times in theaters.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I will say that I saw it probably 10 times the first 2 weeks it was out.
That's a lot of money to go see a movie in a theater.
I was a 20-year-old kid who didn't really have any responsibilities and a fuck ton more money than I probably should have at the time. Of course, it's a lot of times in the theater. Wow. But it was worth it. I was taking friends and my siblings and family members to see it because of how good it was.
Did you see The Midnight?
I did see The Midnight with you, Haas, actually.
Village Mall?
Yeah.
I was at the Midnight one.
I think we saw you there. Yeah, actually. I do recall that.
Do you remember the AC went out during that movie?
Oh my God, it was so hot.
But see, the packed theater and just...
IMAX did a thing where I feel like they replayed Batman Begins like a week before Dark Knight dropped. And they... as I lose my headphones. They did a thing where at the end of Batman Begins, they played like the first 10 minutes of The Dark Knight. And then that footage was everywhere. So it's the, you know, the bank robber heist scene at the beginning and, you know, the bus and all that. And as soon as that, like, debuted and I saw it, I was like, nope, this movie's going to be the greatest movie of all time. And, like, the darkness surrounding Heath Ledger and what happened to him. Aww. And he, like, drove himself crazy and all that to play this role. He will, in my opinion, humbly go down as the greatest Joker of all time. He hit comic book Joker better than anybody else. And I know, no disrespect to Nicholson, no disrespect to Cesar Romero, none of those guys. Like, and Leto isn't even supposed to be in the same conversation because that was a joke.
You know, you are wearing your Joker hat right now.
I actually didn't.
Just thought I'd point that out.
I didn't know what hat I was wearing today, honestly.
You're wearing your Joker one.
Joker.
I watched that Heath Ledger movie not that long ago that just came out about his life, and it was so sad.
Oh, I bet.
He seemed like such a beautiful person. Yeah, it was a documentary.
You guys get down on documentaries?
I like documentaries. You told me about that The End of the Void.
Oh, Touching the Void?
Touching the Void.
Yeah. But before we get into documentary talk for a minute here, what are your go-to movies?
I want to talk about this movie I've seen countless times. I remember it being the first movie I ever saw in a theater. It's Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's a great movie.
I remember seeing it. Well, it came out, I was really young. I remember seeing it with my parents at this, it was in Danville, it was this old like one screen theater they had that they tore down a long time ago.
Did you say this was your first movie theater experience?
It's my first time in a movie theater that I can remember. I think I threw up during that movie, but I don't know it had anything to do with the fact what the movie was, but that's still, I think it just, as a kid, seeing it from the kind of the viewpoint of those children, and then kind of watching it as an adult and seeing it kind of from the view of the father doing everything he could to be, it's like early 90s. 93.
Going to the Google machines.
But just, I remember, like... Because watching it as a kid, you see it just kind of as more just funny and Robin Williams.
Yeah. It's dark as fuck watching it as an adult.
Oh, yeah.
His
wife was, that whole thing. And
it was a very sad movie to watch as a grown up. And I watched it with Oliver not that long ago. And I'm recently divorced, so it made me cry. I was just like, oh, my God.
Well, and the fact that, like, she could have easily just... ruined his life more at the end, and then
chose
to. It took her seeing him on TV to like change that.
I know, I
was
what like, a bitch.
What year?
It was 93. Yeah, you 93? Guys are dead on. You guys know your shit.
Yeah, it was.
That's why we have a podcast about movies.
No, you don't say.
I do indeed.
But that's. I think that's why I still, if I ever see it on TV, I usually stay and watch it, or I'll grab it off the shelf and be like, I'm going to watch this again.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a good movie.
What's your secondary go-to, though?
That's a good one.
I always put him on the spot. I feel so bad.
It's fine. I have...
Too many movies.
Too many movies. Too many segments. We need to break this up over several conversations.
The
we're gonna.
There's one I do like that I don't think many people have seen. It's Anonymous. It's a.
Anonymous.
Yeah, it's a movie about the guy who supposedly wrote all of Shakespeare's plays.
Oh yeah, I did see that movie a long time ago. I barely remember it.
Yeah, it's He's like a royal who came. He had all these ideas. He was kind of haunted by, and he wrote them all down, but couldn't link himself to it. So he found this drunk actor who was named William Shakespeare, who just gave him all the scripts and then let him do it. So he wasn't touched by this. And then he started getting, and then William Shakespeare getting bad. But it was just such a good movie. It was just weird because I kind of seen that whole side of him being like consumed by these ideas that he had for these characters, and then watching someone else get all the credit. I really enjoyed that movie.
I'm going to have to check that out. Where can you see it? Is it maybe Netflix?
Yeah, it might be on Netflix. If not, I own it. I can always let you borrow it.
Yeah. We do still rent movie films.
We do. There is a Family Video in my town, and I take my little son there to get movies. They have a. He loves going there because they have a big gumball machine, and if you win the color of the week, you get a free rental. And he's won me like 2 free movies so far.
There you go.
I like how he won you 2 free movies. Not he won himself 2 free movies.
Right, because the kid movies there are all free, so that's excellent. So then, if he gets a free dollar movie, then I can get a dollar movie.
Yeah, if that's it's definitely probably a Family Video for the 2 for $1 section.
Yeah, I love Family Video.
Film Video gets so much of my money. Especially because when the movie goes down to like 3 for $21, I could use some more movies.
We live in a totally different society with movie rental, by the way. I was just thinking about it. My movie rental place in Hoopston when I was a kid was Hollywood Video. And they had an 18 over section.
Family Video had an 18. I think it still does.
Still does?
Yeah.
Really?
An 18 over section.
They do a good job of hiding it because I didn't see it.
It's by the bathrooms.
Oh.
They always have it hidden like a ledge. And there's like, it's a shorter wall, so there's a mirror so people can
still the mirror so you could see when there's like creepers back there, just people renting movies. Yeah. And then like when you're a teenager, you're like, oh, look what they're doing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Still have never gone back there. Don't know why. I just easily can. I'm just like, I'd rather watch one of these movies.
I've never gone back there either.
But it's weird when I think about Hollywood Video because I think about like how like kind of mischievous I was. Because I would go with my grandparents to Hollywood Video, and they didn't know what I probably should or shouldn't watch. And I remember I rented Batman Returns, and I was not supposed to watch that movie because my parents knew. I mean, they knew, and it was like right when it came out, so I was probably only like 5 years old.
Oh yeah, you definitely shouldn't have watched that movie.
But I mean,
It's
Batman Returns.
Ugh, I
loved Michelle Pfeiffer in that movie.
I just watched the Kevin Smith where he did the. His like walkthrough of the first 4 Batman movies.
That was Mark Bernardin was on there. That was the first thing they did together.
Yeah, I watched like all 4 of those, and those were just fun. I wasn't even watching the movies at the time. I was just listening to them talk as the movie was going.
Okay. Well, I was gonna ask you guys if we start with Veronica.
What?
All-time favorite director.
All-time favorite director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's like. Somebody that you know is almost infallible. What they make, you're going to probably dig.
I can't remember. Now I feel shitty because I can't remember her name. Penelope something. She directed Wayne's World. She's actually directed a lot of things.
Well, Wayne's World's not over here. I don't know where it is.
All right, well, let me pick someone different since I can't even remember her last name, which I feel terrible about. But she directed a lot of cool metal videos and stuff. I also really like Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall was a great director. He did some of my favorite movies, and if there's a Gary Marshall directed movie on TV, I would watch it. And
what has he directed?
Do you remember Hocus Pocus?
Did he direct Hocus Pocus? I knew he was in it, but I didn't remember if he actually, I was going to ask you if he directed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he directed it. Well, now I feel like a jerk. Let me look it up. Well, ask somebody else while I'm Googling it.
Okay, what about you? All-time favorite director, Lauren?
It'd have to be...
Thank you.
Probably either Stanley Kubrick.
Ugh, okay. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Him or Woody Allen.
Awesome. Why, what's like the one Kubrick movie that like puts him way up there for you? Because there's one for me.
Oh shit, it was Kenny Ortega that did that one.
Clockwork Orange, easy.
Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Shining's up there too though.
Yeah, The Shining is up there.
The Shining's one of my favorite movies. It's my favorite Halloween movie.
The book The Shining is actually to your right.
I know, it's my movie. I was letting Sarah borrow it.
Probably, this is going to sound weird, but Eyes Wide Shut.
Ooh, that was a dark fucking movie. Another Tom Cruise movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was really creepy and sad. That's really the only movie
that I liked Tom Cruise in.
Yeah, he was good in that movie. Yeah. That was a creepy, creepy movie. Fidelio. It made me feel so sad. Whew. Huh?
Fidelio.
Yeah.
Just for the people on the podcast listening, the train of our existence shows up on Foodie sometimes too. Across all network shows. Huh?
Fidelio? Sorry, I heard Fidelio and it caught me off guard.
Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut?
I have not seen Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, that'll fuck you up.
So should I just watch it in the morning sometime? Just
don't watch it at night. So Eyes Wide Shut, your Kubrick.
Yeah.
I do love Stanley Kubrick. I want to change my answer to that.
Sure, you guys can copy off of your answer. Awesome. But what Kubrick movie does it for you? What's the one that like...
Okay, I loved The Shining. That's one of my favorite movies. And I also independently love the book The Shining because they are two completely different stories.
Oh, the book Shining is so good.
The book Shining is so good. I have Dr. Sleep.
It's such a good book.
I started it, and I wasn't into it at the time, so I haven't finished it yet. Mm. And I stopped reading it right when it was beginning to get good, and then I kind of forgot about it.
Dr. Sleep is a sequel to The Shining, if you didn't know. He wrote it a couple years ago.
Yeah, ever since I had my little son, I haven't been able to do a lot of reading. He keeps me really busy, so I don't have a lot of reading downtime.
You sit quietly over here, and I'm going to read. That doesn't work.
Yeah, no. In a perfect world, that would be excellent. I haven't been able to finish a book in a very long time. But Stanley Kubrick, The Shining, that's one of my favorites. And yes, I know it's different than the book The Shining, which is in some ways better than the movie. But that was a masterwork, I thought.
AP. Director.
I have two options. Mm-hmm. Well,
one of them is Kevin Smith.
One of them is Kevin
Smith. Yes, I know that.
Kevin Smith is a great director.
Absolutely.
I love Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy was great. That was a good one.
I still like Dogma. That's probably my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
That's my mom's favorite Kevin Smith movie. I know we talked about this
on our Kevin Smith-centric podcast that we did, or that focused one that I kind of took charge of. But the other one, I think, is Spielberg. Just because I've liked a lot of his recent stuff, like really liked Bridge of Spies. The movie, him and Tom Hanks do good work together.
Yeah, they do.
I'm going to bring it full circle and say Martin Scorsese. For really? Real. You haven't seen it yet, but The Departed, arguably one of the greatest films of all time.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Like, hands
down. I haven't
seen
it yet.
It's,
you still haven't seen it?
Mm-mm, and I love Leo. You'd think I would.
It's amazingly written. It's cleverly done. It keeps you guessing. The acting is so good. Jack Nicholson is so fucking incredible. Matt Damon's in that, right?
Matt Damon.
And then Leo's in it.
Leonardo DiCaprio. And then Mark Wahlberg.
Wahlberg is also in it, too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's star-studded across the board, and that movie's phenomenal. Wolf of Wall Street, another great movie.
That was a great movie.
Leo movie. But I don't know. I think Scorsese just has a formula. He's been making movies so long, 50 years. It's a long time to be doing movies, so.
Did he do Blow, or was that someone else?
Find out.
Do you have Blow?
That was a really great movie.
What kind of question are you asking? What kind of podcast do you think this is, Poor Boy Jesus? Do I have Blow?
On the ready.
Right here.
I've never seen Blow.
Yeah, based on a true story, directed by... Why is the director not on here?
Should be in the bottom part with the credits.
Oh, it's Tim Demme.
You should really cover that.
Who I don't know. Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz.
That was such a good movie. That was really sad, too.
I was thinking of Choke.
Oh, my God. Choke was great. I loved that movie. I love Sam Rockwell.
Haven't seen that one either.
I love Chuck Palahniuk's books. I'm just not huge. I mean, I obviously loved Fight Club.
Yeah, that was great. He hasn't seen Fight Club. AP hasn't.
Yeah, it's...
Shame, shame.
Shocking. But that's not... I mean, it's really, like I said, it's really not that shocking. I didn't see Fight Club till like 3 years ago.
Really?
Really, really.
Wow.
It was just one of those things, like, it pervades
That was
me.
Like Brad Pitt at his peak
yeah.
of excellence.
Tyler Durden, yeah.
Yeah. My mom had this old magazine that did a photo shoot. Well, it wasn't old at the time, when Fight Club came out, and they did a photo shoot of Brad Pitt, and he was wearing, like... He was all, like, dirty and bloodied up, and he actually is missing, like, a tooth. He wears a fake tooth, so he took his tooth out for this picture, and he's in, like, a dress, like an old 60s, like, muumuu dress. And I thought, that is the coolest fucking picture. And he was wearing, like, silver go-go boots with Brad Pitt with his, like, shaved head and his, like, muscles and everything. I was like, wow, that's a man. And I kept that picture for, like, the longest time.
See, I think Brad Pitt, I think of Seven. That's my...
Ooh, that was a good Brad Pitt movie.
Who directed Seven?
What's in the box? What's in
David
the
box? Fincher.
Is it David
Let's
Fincher?
See. God Fincher? Damn right, girl. Lauren
for the
awesome.
Win. Good job.
David Fincher does it, yeah. That's Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Gwyneth Paltrow. Obviously got Kevin Spacey. Right, Kevin Spacey's in
it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the guy. Kevin Spacey playing that role as like the Riddler would be amazing. Like a Seven-style Riddler?
Ooh. Kevin Spacey is amazing. He's one of my favorite actors.
Damn you, Kevin Spacey. You take all my parts.
There's another little really Nicky good references. Movie that he was in that was really underrated was The Life of David Gale.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see that either.
But I saw trailers for it, and I wanted to see it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really good. It has him and Laura Linney in it. And who play? Oh, Kate Winslet's in it, too.
I love her, too.
It's a good cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey... is so talented. I've been watching him sometimes when I'm sad. I watch him go on late night TV shows, like talk shows, and he does like impressions. And
his Bill Clinton is funny.
His Bill Clinton is funny. His Johnny Carson's really spot on. His Christopher Walken was good.
When he hosted that award show, he got a little dated with his impressions, but overall, he's a really good guy.
I think he's really smart. And, he like was teaching like an actor's master class or something that looked really interesting, and I don't know. And then he also did a funny late night sketch where he was in a barbershop quartet, but they were like singing like some stupid trendy song at the time.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Did that with what's his name? One of the late night hosts, Jimmy Fallon. Did he do it with him?
Yeah.
I know another great Spacey movie, The Negotiator. Samuel L. Jackson.
Wasn't he in The Usual Suspects, too?
Yeah. Yeah. The Usual Suspects. American Beauty, obviously. There was another Kevin Spacey movie I really liked.
Superman Returns, yep.
No, I was not going to say that
at
all.
Best role he
ever did. Nay. He was in this movie called Swimming with Sharks, and it's about this man who kidnaps his boss in his boss's home. He plays the boss. He's a total fucking prick, and it's just like a battle of wills. With this like disgruntled fired employee like kidnapping his boss and just like yelling at him, and his boss totally mind fucking him while he's like tied up, and it was probably Kevin Spacey's like best movie.
I liked him in Goldmember.
He was in Goldmember. I don't even remember
the movie within a movie. He played Dr. Evil with Danny DeVito as Mini-Me.
I do remember that.
Oh my god,
man!
I want that movie.
Just the alternate universe.
Tom Cruise
is
Austin Powers.
Maybe Kevin that Spacey. Should be a segment. Alternate movies, recasting movies with different characters.
That's a whole different.
That's something for another day.
Okay, so we're gonna get close to wrapping it here. Let's do movie recommendations of the week. So I'm gonna go around. We'll give everybody just a quick recommendation. Doesn't have to be new, doesn't have to be old. It can be wherever you want in the verse of things. What do you want people to watch, AP?
I want everyone to watch Field of Dreams. I watched it this morning because I we were talking baseball movies at one point, and it's not what I expected that movie to be. I'd never seen it before I watched it.
Oh.
So I had really thought the movie was never going to leave this baseball field. I really thought it was just going to... I didn't realize there was this whole adventure to, like, Boston and to pick up James Earl Jones and take him to Wisconsin. And I was just like, where are we going? And it was a lot... Like, I never got Ray Liotta as Shoeless Joe Jackson. I was like, what movie am I watching? This is great. And probably one of Burt Lancaster's last movies.
Yeah.
It's just a great movie, and I couldn't imagine having... Like, his wife is unusually cool with everything that happens. Like, you heard a voice, you're going to go use all of our savings to build a baseball field. Sure, do it. Like, I don't think anyone's wife would be cool with that.
If you build it, they will come.
I feel like there's behind the scenes in that movie that you don't see where she's just like, okay, honey, sure, do whatever you're going to do. And he goes outside and she's just like filing a knife really slowly, just like waiting for her opportunity.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed that movie.
So that's your pick?
That is definitely my pick.
All right, Lauren, moving on to you.
Matilda.
Oh, yes. I was just thinking about that movie last week or something.
Interesting.
Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman. Trunchbull.
Yeah, the Trunch. Oh, that was such a good movie.
Aren't they married? Weren't they married?
I feel like they were married.
Until, like, recently? Divorced. Like, recently.
And everybody was all, like, butthurt about it because they had been together for so many years.
Mm-hmm. People get really wrapped up in celebrity marriages and relationships that when they fall apart, they're like, I'm like, they're just people. Like, things don't... I don't know.
So why Matilda?
Just because I grew up watching it, and I loved it. And I loved the book growing up. What was it by? It was by
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. Yeah.
I could never pronounce his name right. I hope I just did.
Well, good luck. Hopefully it was close.
Yeah, I loved that movie, too. And I'm going to make Oliver watch it and see if he likes it.
Awesome. What about you, V? What are you going to suggest? What's your recommendation for this week?
Well, I mentioned it earlier, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned it on another conversation we've had on Foodies, but I want everybody to watch Slither. I love that movie, and Halloween...
I've seen it. I love it.
You love it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Nathan Fillion.
I love Nathan Fillion.
Me.
Nate does not like Nathan Fillion, do you?
Like Nathan Fillion?
I have really big hate against Nathan Fillion.
Why?
I don't know why.
Firefly. I didn't like that show.
You didn't like Firefly?
He didn't like Firefly, that's right.
I didn't like Nathan Fillion either. I love Nathan Fillion. About
the,
him.
Like I watched Castle. I loved Castle.
Is that the blonde guy?
I didn't finish Firefly because who's the blonde actor in Firefly?
Alan Tudyk.
Do you like Alan Tudyk?
Oh, of course I like Alan Tudyk. He was in Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, with my dad.
It's been a doozy of a day.
It has been.
That's a great movie. Ooh, I don't want to change my pick.
We did an episode about that.
Yes, we did.
We did.
That's going to be technically filed under Lost Episodes. You can find that on the Journey into Comics YouTube. That'd be episode 3, but it has never appeared on the actual main feed. Maybe we can do some sort of retrospective and throw it up on our Patreon or something.
Maybe. A commentary on our episode?
Commentating an episode about us commentating a movie.
Incepticast?
Double Incepticast. We're bringing that back, too.
Yeah, my recommendation for you all to watch would be Slither. That was a great movie. I love the cast. I love Elizabeth Banks. I love Nathan Fillion, Michael Rooker.
They created a human life? Or like an artificial life?
What?
It's definitely not that movie, then.
I didn't hear you.
The movie where like she... they cloned someone?
No.
Oh, what movie is that?
I have no idea. But no. Slither is about an alien slug that lands on Earth and invades Michael Rooker and becomes, he's like his parasite.
Oh, I'm thinking of Splice. And, never mind.
Oh, yeah, Splice. That
movie was so
bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Very bad.
I didn't like that movie either.
Didn't see it.
You don't need to.
I went to go see it in theaters. It was so awful.
Me and my friend
Candace, we went to go see it together, and we always joke, when are they going to come out with Splice 2?
Was that a Ryan Reynolds movie?
Splice 2.
Who was in that, Ryan Reynolds?
No, who was it? Shit.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see it.
Adrian Brody.
Okay.
Yes, it came out in 2010. Oh, yeah, Adrian Brody.
And who played the woman?
Sarah Paulson?
Yeah, Sarah Paulson.
No idea. Across either board.
Splice 2. That comes up as a Google search.
Oh, God.
People are like, oh, my God, I got to get my Splice fix.
So what about you, Nathaniel? What's your pick for the week?
As I had been saying when we were indulging ourselves in some delicious House of Pizza. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to watch Attack the Block. You recently watched it.
I did.
I think, especially for anybody who's going to be a...
if you're a Doctor Who fan.
It gives you a really good insight to what Jodie Whittaker is capable of doing. And it's
Jodie Whittaker is cast as the new Doctor, for those who don't know.
Yes, thank you.
First
thank
female
you for,
Doctor,
for
right?
clarifying. Yes, she's the first female Doctor, the 13th iteration of the Doctor. Technically, the 14th iteration of the Doctor. I know that's confusing.
Is Attack the Block the... is it a Netflix movie?
No. I'm going to grab it right now.
Attack the Block was not what I was expecting. I didn't know anything about this movie going into it other than I was about to see who was about to play the new Doctor Who. And this movie was super weird, pretty funny, very sad, and just bizarre.
Is Drax from Legends of Tomorrow in this
yes.
movie?
Yes,
he is.
Yes. As
I was so excited. I was like, Jeffers.
As is John Boyega from Star Wars. And like I said, Jodie Whittaker's in it. Nick Frost directed it, I believe.
He's in it, too.
This is what?
Attack the Block. It's right there. It's
is it a TV show?
No, it's a movie. It's a one-off. And
it's very British.
It is very British.
In the best ways.
But essentially, this alien crash lands on Earth. And these kids beat the shit out of it and it dies.
They're like in a gang and they just mugged this woman.
Yeah. And like, you're just like, oh my God, these kids are the worst. So they kill this alien. And then... some weird stuff happens, and then an entire invasion of these things come for them. And it's like, what
it's
are these kids
so
going to
do
to stop the end of themselves? And it's really, the overall story is beautifully done. I think it's got great cinematography. The effects are really cool. It's not at all, there are like maybe three scenes with digital effects, but every other effect of the monsters is real puppeteering being done cleverly.
It looks really cool. It looks scary.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I'll allow you to recommend it.
I'm glad it got your seal of approval.
I like how the back cover of the Blu-ray has like almost like an Aliens homage to it.
It does, and it also says from the producers of Shaun of the Dead, so you know it's going to be a
Nick
clever, creepy, funny
Simon
British
Pegg.
Movie. Yeah, Nick Frost is actually in it.
Oh, good.
It won an award for at LA Film Fest for the Audience Award. It also won a South by West Film Festival Audience Award, both in 2011.
South by Southwest.
Yeah, so this like predates almost all of their major roles. It predates Broadchurch.
Yeah, they look like little babies in
it. It predates, obviously, The Force Awakens. It predates Legends.
When did this come out?
2011.
Was it filmed in 2011?
Would have been filmed in probably 2010, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think they had much of a budget for it either, and it looks really, really, really awesome.
Sometimes a small budget is better. Sometimes you can get a lot more creative ways to do things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that one movie about the alien that was in South Africa. What the hell was that called?
Independence Day Resurgence?
No.
Was that what was it called?
It was super sad. But
it was the one, that was in Johannesburg, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, District 9.
District 9,
yeah.
That movie was incredibly low budget. Didn't they only have like $11,000 to make that whole movie or something?
There's aliens in the movie. A lot of it was like makeup for
what?
The guy. They didn't a lot of... that's where the CGI aliens aren't in it very often.
No, they weren't.
It's a lot of him in prosthetics as he slowly
right,
changes.
And they made it look so good.
Like, I didn't see it.
It was,
that was the...
you don't want to see this movie. It's
that
really...
that was the movie that used a bunch
very,
of stuff.
It's very, very sad.
That was
fucking
the movie that used
bleak.
A bunch of stuff
yeah.
from the scrapped Halo
it's
movie.
It's a bleak movie.
In that one.
Oh, interesting.
Do you remember when they were going to make the Halo movie?
Yeah.
Like a big budget. So there was a lot of the stuff, like weapons stuff they use in that movie are... look like Halo weapons.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was the movie they made next or if it was just something that they
what's
just
that, had. What's that robot movie that just recently came out that's incredibly sad?
Chappie. Also by the same crew.
That's what I was
District
bringing
9.
Up for,
because
yeah.
the guy who played the alien in District 9 voices, that Chappie. Actor voices Chappie.
Well, yeah, and that band DeAntwoord was in it, right?
Yeah.
They answered.
Weird.
They
filmed it
so
all in
funny.
Johannesburg or near Johannesburg.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Well, V, did you want to go ahead and wrap this one up?
Sure.
I mean, it was great
to have you guys back. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
We've got
nice.
A lot of fun ideas planned upcoming for future shows. I know we've got some exciting ideas for the Halloween season.
Mm-hmm.
And
some yummy recipes that we're cooking up for everybody.
Yeah, and then I know we're going to plan for the next Foodies to include some fourth meal content. And what we mean by fourth meal content is we'll be filming in the kitchen, making whatever we're going to make as our dish for that particular episode.
Yeah, whatever we want to eat.
We're going to put it all together in a nice little montage thing and then put it up for our patrons to have an exclusive video of Foodies having some fourth meal and watching how we make the stuff we're going to be cooking.
Right.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to add before I get into the plugs of the show? Is there anything else you would like to add?
I'm okay.
Lauren, thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah,
it was
Lauren,
a lot of fun.
I'm so glad you're here.
You're welcome on Foodies anytime. Like, obviously. It was great. We also talked about how we should start a Doctor Who podcast with this same group because
yeah,
we're all very knowledgeable.
We need to get Sarah involved
in that one.
Somebody
else needs to catch up, though.
Well, Everybody but me. I need to catch up. I'm only, like
I own the whole entire 10th season on Amazon. I bought it probably, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I haven't watched any episode except for the first one.
I would say tonight when you go home, you know what you're doing. I just get lost in it. If you got nothing going on tonight, get lost in Who, because it's season 10 genuinely is maybe the best writing in the new series.
Is it the best Capaldi season?
Hands down. Capaldi is next level. The person they get for the companion is awesome. There are two companions, Nardole and Bill. They're phenomenal.
Did they introduce Nardole in 9?
Yeah, he has a little bit of an introduction in 9, but they really dive into him into 10. And I loved it. But really not much left to say there about Foodies, or about Doctor Who, or Foodies. You guys can check us out on all the different social media sites. Got to make sure not to fuck this one up. Haven't done the plugs in a while.
Yeah.
So you got us at Foodies Watching Movies on Instagram, Foodies Watching Movies on Facebook, Film Foodies on Twitter. I don't think we have a YouTube except for Journey into Comics. You can get all of our shows on the Journey into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com, or you can get them on all the different podcasting services, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Podbean, Overcast, or any other podcast service you choose to listen to. There's Podcast Addict, if you will.
Damn.
You can also listen on podbean.com, Journey into Comics. Make sure to get us as patron or become a patron to Journey into Comics. You get all the exclusive content. You get early access to every show. As soon as it's done being edited, it goes up there immediately. You don't have to wait for the release day. So if you're obsessed with our voices, you can listen to our voices. If that's going to do it for this week of Journey into Comics, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on. Welcome back. Episode 1 of season 2.
Foodies Watching Movies. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Do you want to take away the introduction?
Okay, well, thanks for listening to Foodies Watching Movies. This is Veronica.
Andrew.
I'm Nate.
Lauren.
And it was so good to talk to you guys. Yeah. Later.
See you soon.